tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You love him? It's good to be here tonight. You may be seated for just a moment. So we're thrilled to have our brother Wayne Lawson with us tonight. He was ministering at the Tucson Tabernacle this last weekend and let us know ahead of time that he was coming out. And so we said, boy, we'd sure love to have you come by. And, man, we've got a house full of preachers here tonight. I say let's just start having some meetings, huh? We got our two local ministers, and we got Brother Andrew Glover here. He just flew in from New Zealand yesterday, so he traveled a little further to church than the rest of us, I'd say. And my good buddy Brother Daryl Ward with us tonight, and of course all of you are here, so. We're just thrilled to have Brother Wayne with us. He's a good friend. He's a fellow minister and just a real encouragement to us, to the body. And so we want him to have his way tonight. We don't have a clock on the walls anywhere. And we just want the Lord to have his way tonight. And, amen. And then we might just remind you that being the time of the year that it is, just be careful out there. We were coming to pick up the brothers from the hotel they're staying at, which is on Broadway and Wilmot, and we went to turn on Broadway, and the road was all backed up. There was a wreck, and almost a few wrecks trying to compensate for that. So it delayed us, and we came around, and then we're coming down Kolb, and things were backed up. There's another wreck. So then we went around there and came back around, finally came and picked up the brothers, and then we managed to come back down to 22nd, and I'm stressing because it's 5 minutes to seven, and then here comes an ambulance coming this direction, so there's another wreck somewhere. So it's not something that we see very often, but just you know, be in prayer and be careful when you go out there, because people's minds are going different directions, and I just want you to be safe and praise the Lord. Oh my, God is good. So we got here at 5 minutes to seven, and I found out I'm not late. Most of you didn't even know it. Well, praise the Lord. I guess there's traffic all over the town tonight, I'm sure. Amen. So let's keep the young people in prayer and the ministers in prayer and all the those that are going to have the musicians and song leaders and deacons and everyone that's going to be contributing to these meetings over the next few days, starting Thursday night, finishing Sunday morning, six services all together. We just want God to just have his way. Just fill every fiber of their being. Amen? We want them to come back saying, where is that devil? Amen? We are overcomers in the end time. Amen? And everything we have need of is here. But we need to take advantage of it. Amen. So you be praying for our young people. Amen. That God would just have his way. We know that God wants to do it. He wants to do it real bad. Amen. So we've spent time, money, expense, whatever. And we know the young people want to meet with the Lord. Every generation has to have their own witness. There's none of us that are going to say, Dad told me, or Mom told me, or Brother Branham said. Saying Brother Branham said is fine. Saying Dad said is fine. But you've got to have what Dad had and what Brother Branham had. Amen? So let's stand. We'll invite our brother to just come and take his liberty. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. And so I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord, right now. One more time. I need you, Lord, with all your heart. Yes, Lord. Oh, I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord, right now. We need you tonight, Lord. Have your way tonight, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. So I lift my hands, and so I lift my hands, and I bow my knees and worship at your throne.
Amen. And the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my care, more that I humble myself, the more He lifts me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love You more. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? Amen. The more that we can surrender, amen, the more that He can lighten our load and use us. Amen. I want to just invite you to surrender with us tonight. And as we bow our hearts together, just to open in a word of prayer here for the preaching part of the service. Amen. We're reminded of a prophet as he told us that if we would invite him to come, he would come. No matter the place, but he's promised that he would come if we would ask him to. And I know that you're getting ready for your youth camp here, and I'm sure some of you is prepared for it. I know there's probably many parents here that's praying and asking God to do something special in your youth camp and your meetings. And I just wonder tonight if we could just join together and let's just reach over and lay our hand upon one another and let's ask the Holy Spirit to come in a special way tonight. Amen. And that He would be our help and He would be our leader. Father, we just bow our hearts in this assembly tonight. Our brother Doug has opened this to us, Lord, our friend, Lord, a treasured friend of mine, Father. But Lord, this is beyond our friendship, Lord. This is Your word. These are Your children. This is Your house. And Lord Jesus, as we invite You just now, we pray, oh God, may You walk the aisles of this building this evening just for a few moments in time. May You, Lord, may that great Spirit touch. May You reach out and touch the heart, Lord, that is needing tonight, Lord. The brokenhearted, Father, may You bind it, Lord. The captive, may You set them loose tonight. I pray, Father, that the great healer, the great changer of lives, Lord, would enter this room. And we invite You, Lord. We open every door, Lord. We invite You fully. Take this service into Thine hands now. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And if you have your Bibles tonight, the book of Revelations, the third chapter, I'd like to take tonight. We want to say that we're real honored to be here with you and Brother Daryl and Brother Andrew and amen, a couple of real brothers. And amen, I know you're in for a real treat this weekend. Amen, two of the best preachers on the planet. Amen, so I know you're going to enjoy that, amen. And in Revelation chapter 3, just for a little, maybe a little thought tonight, just going to try to t- not take a whole long time here. And the 20th verse, "For behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door." Now, the knock then is a voice. "Any man would hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." Now, there's a promise. "I will come into him and sup with him." Brother Bram said, that's reveal the hidden things. "And he with me. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." We ask the Lord to bless his word tonight as you be seated. I want to just speak to you just a little bit here tonight from this portion of scripture. And if I would just take a title, I want to talk about opening the doors of the heart. Opening the doors of the heart. Of course, there's a couple messages, and you that like to listen to tapes, you can listen to the tape Doors and Doors. And also there's a message called Who Is This? And I think that both of those sermons are very, a lot of this is drawled from them places. And maybe just to read something here from Who's This Melchizedek. Brother Bram said, "God came down and become flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get into it for fellowship." Now, God loves fellowship. And that's what he made the man at first time for, was for fellowship. And God dwells alone with his cherubims. Now notice, he made a man and man fell. So he came down and redeemed the man because God loves to be worshipped. The very word God means an object of worship. And this is that comes among us as a pillar of fire. As something that changes our heart. It's the same God that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the prophet says, an angel of the covenant. Now, tonight here in God's house, where the same pillar of fire is here in this house right now. In the message, Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Bram said, what is it? It's the pillar of fire, and he's here. It's the angel of the Lord is with us. Now, he's here tonight, and he comes among us as a pillar of fire. So Christ comes among his church as a pillar of fire, as something that changes our hearts. Now, I think that's a very powerful thing, because if we want to maybe just take a moment tonight and to think about it, that this is the real need, is the change of the heart. I find that if you've been around a little while and you've seen things happen, one thing we've all realized is man's going to do what's in their heart. You can try to counsel, and you can try to talk somebody out of it, give them the whole books of why they should do things, shouldn't, pros and cons. But the pastors can tell you, you'll never talk somebody out of it, and you'll never talk them into it, because man will eventually do whatever's in their heart. They eventually, that's what they're going to do. So where the real issue then remains is in the heart. Now, the Bible tells us that God looks upon the heart. That's according to Samuel 16. It was when Samuel went in to anoint in the house of Jesse that he went through all the sons of Jesse looking for one that he could anoint. But it wasn't till he come to David that he was able to anoint, because for the man looketh on the outward appearance. He said, but God looketh on the heart. That's right. Now we find in Jeremiah 17, the Bible said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now that means incurably wicked. And who can know it? See, I the Lord search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to the way and the fruit of his doings. According to the book of James, the Bible said that every man is tempted when he's drawn away in his own lust, the things that's in his own heart. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that the word of God is quick and powerful and a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. That's right. The book of Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, So is that man. So we find out tonight that God is not always looking out the outward. And many times if we're not careful, it seems like we get so caught up in the outward man, we forget the inward man. And God is actually judging us by that inward man. Do you know that God looks at the motives of what we're doing? Sometimes people can do things right, but the motive was wrong. So God is not judging you by what you've done all the time, but what your motive was. And I appreciate the Lord for that, because sometimes I've done the wrong thing, meaning to do the right thing, and it come all out all wrong. But God, amen, judges the man in his motive, not exactly in what he done. Amen. And I find that the scriptures is telling what a man is in his heart. Amen. That's what he thinks in there. That's what he actually is. And if you go back in the scripture, you'll find that this is exactly true. When you even go to a king in the book of Daniel, you'll find a king Nebuchadnezzar, amen, who was a great king among men. God had made him a ruler of the earth and had set him even above his own children and had brought them in his kingdom. But see, there comes something to that king. According to Proverbs, the Bible said, pride goeth just before the destruction, and a haughty spirit just before the fall. The Bible tells us that this king, who was in a great position because God had given that to that man, but yet there come a time when he began to say, is this not a great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by my might, of my power, and the honor of my majesty? And after a little while, this Nebuchadnezzar, he began to say, look what I've done and how I did it and the way that I've put everything together. Amen. But the Bible said, while those words was yet in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom shall depart from thee, and they shall drive thee from men and dwelling with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee eat of the grass as oxen, seven times shall pass over thee. Now, it's amazing that he's a man and he's a king, but when he got lifted up in his heart, that God looked upon his pride and, amen, changed the man's heart and put the heart of a beast within him. And a man, a king, is out in the field eating grass where he used to be sitting on the throne. See, amen, the Bible is clear letting us know this, that if a man exalts himself, God will bring that man down. Amen. Amen. The pride is just before the fall. When we get to the place where we're saying, look at us and what we can do and how we can do it and look how wonderful we are, man, that's just before the fall begins. Amen. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is that man. Now, to think that this is exactly what the problem is man, and the need of change is in the heart of mankind. I find that as in the church many times, what we're trying to do is we're trying to change people. Well, if we can get the way they dress changed, then somehow we believe that changed the heart. If we can just cause them to have longer hair, somehow that changed the heart. Amen. If we can get them to read all the books, sometimes that made a change. But we find out later, amen, the only change that's going to last is a change that's made in the heart. Amen. You can change your clothes, but it don't change your heart. You can change the way you do things, but it's got to change in your heart. Amen. And I found that there's only one thing that can change the heart of a man, and it takes God to make that change. Psychology will never change it. Amen. Amen. Just creeds and doctrines will never change it. Amen. But it'll take the pillar of fire to come down in the church of the living God. Amen. And I thank God today that there's still men of God like Brother Baker that is left, amen, that's opened the doors to the pillar of fire and said, God, come in the church and change it. Change the heart of man. Change the life of man. Oh, if there's anything we actually need, is we need a change. We need a change in hearts. People say, well, I'm in such a condition, there's no way that change could ever come to me. But let me tell you tonight, amen, that God is a God that can change. Amen. He can change any heart, any place, anywhere, anytime. It does not matter the condition. It matters what you're dealing with. And we're dealing with a God who created the heavens and the earth. How much more can he change the heart of mankind? Amen. If we would just ask him to come in tonight, he's a heart-changing God. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, things begin to change. That's right. The catalyst of every change comes from the heart of man. If you'll get it right in the heart, it'll come out right in life. Amen. If you try to change it in life before it's changed in the heart, you just become a hypocrite. Amen. But we don't have to be a hypocrite tonight. The heart changer's in the building. Amen. The pillar of fire is here. He's here to change the heart of man. That's right. Now, you see, we find out that where real evil comes from then, it comes from the heart. Amen. You want to turn with me to the book of Mark. Let's read the book of Mark here and see that Jesus comes into the Pharisees one day with his disciples, and the Bible lets us know that they didn't wash their hands. The Pharisees kind of got upset at them because they didn't keep the traditions. Amen. Now, in the 7th chapter, and let's read from the 14th verse here. And when he called all the people unto them, he said unto them, "Hearken me, every one of you, and understand that there's nothing from without a man entering into him that can defile him." So the things that are coming into you don't defile you. He says, but the things which come out of him are those that defile the man. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. And when he entered into the house from his disciples, asked him concerning the parable. And he said, "Are you so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into man, it cannot defile? Because it not entereth into his heart, it goes into his belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all the meats." And he said, "Then that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, from within," see, it comes from within, "out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within that defile a man." Amen. Isn't it amazing that right in the middle of all these, the Lord throws pride in there? Isn't it amazing? Right in the middle of all this adultery and wickedness and thefts and covetousness, he throws pride right in the middle of that. Amen. Brother Ram said, pride is a curse. It's an evil thing. Amen. That's right. And right in the middle of this, it comes out of the heart. You see, what he's trying to show you is that the heart is the problem. Amen. If you think about this tonight, amen, that if every person had God in their heart, you could shut down all the liquor joints in Arizona. If the heart of every man was, all the liquor stores would go out of business. The cigarette factories would have to shut down because nobody would buy them. You see, amen, it's not shutting down the cigarette factory. That's not our goal. Our goal is to change the heart, and that'll take care of everything. Amen. You see, what we really need is we just need a change in the heart of mankind. That is really where the change needs to take place. Then I find out that our problems is not what's coming in, it's what's going out. Amen. And if we had the right heart, many things that come in wouldn't come in because our heart would be right. Is that right? Then we find out that our problem tonight, amen, is not the pastor. It's our heart. Amen. Our problem is not the church. It's our heart. The problem's not the song leader and the songs he sings. It's our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is the difference in two people sitting in a church, in the same church, same pastor, same music, amen, same sermon? A man will leave there and he's walking 10 foot tall. He's on fire, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Ain't that the greatest service you ever was in? My God is good. The power of God is real. Woo! Can't wait to get back and worship God again. Same service, another man. I tell you what, that music's driving me crazy. I don't know about that singing. I don't know that preacher. He just goes on and on and on and on. Honey, did you see the way that guy was sitting over there on that other chair? Amen. And didn't get a thing out of that. Amen. It's because of the condition of that man's heart. Amen. If we would change the heart, it would change the church. If we would change the heart, it would change the entire world. If Jesus Christ was in the heart of every man and woman, amen, there wouldn't be another gun. There wouldn't be another fight. There wouldn't be another divorce. There wouldn't be another argument. So I believe there's an answer tonight. Open up the door and let Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come into the church in power and reality. Hey. And to know tonight, amen, amen, that this is it. This is the age that he actually promised he would do. This is the age the pillar of fire has returned. Amen. Jesus Christ, when Paul met the pillar of fire, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou..." Amen. And you watch now. The pillar of fire is Jesus. And he is here to change hearts. My, to think that the very heart changer, the very redeemer, the very savior, the mighty God, the revealer of life, is the one who personally, amen, has said to you, "I will change your heart." My, to think, amen, If there ever was a heart surgeon, he's the one I want working on me. If there's ever one to fix my problems, he's the one that can fix them. And when he gets done with me, you're not all messed up and got all kinds of issues. He can do a surgery and not even leave a scar. That's right. Amen. He can fix the heart. He's the heart fixer. He's the heart changer. He's the one that can make the difference. So, Brother Wayne, I need a difference in my life. Let him in. Invite him in. Do you see, amen, what we find is this is the age, actually, he promised to show up in, and it's the only age that put him out. Amen. You think of it. It's the only age he promised to come in, and it's the age that they put him out. Brother Bram said, this is where Christ is put out of his own church. He never showed him in the church until the Laodicea. And when we got to Laodicea, he'd been put out of the church. That's right. Justification didn't put him out. Sanctification didn't. It just cleaned a place for him to come. But when the baptism of the Spirit is put in him, in the people, they turned him out when he began to show himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he come to change things, they put him out. As long as he was justifying and healing and all these things, that was fine. But when he come to change things, they put him out. But let me tell you tonight, God is here to change things. He's here to change your life. He's here to change your heart. He didn't come in this building tonight just to have another Wednesday night service. He come here to change the heart of mankind. Oh God, we open the doors tonight and say, come in here, Lord. Change everything. Change it. Change our lives. Change our hearts. My, when I think tonight, they put the only one who could change things, they put him out. The only one who actually knew how to change it. They put him on the outside because they didn't like the way he does things. That's right. Brother Bram said, see, this is to a church, of course, but not just to a church. This is to the individual. Amen. To he that overcometh. An individual is going to have to overcome. Do you see? Now the Bible tells us in Matthew 24 and verse 32. Now learn a parable, the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know the summer is nigh. But remember, said that's Israel, right? Fig tree. If you look in the book of Luke, it says the fig tree and all other trees. Right? So he says, see, likewise, when you see all these things, know that it's near even at the door. Right. Revelation 2 and 16, repent or else I come quickly, he said. He said, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. To the Philadelphians, he's saying, I will come unto thee quickly. Amen. But when you come to the Laodicean age, in the 20th verse, the Bible said, behold, I stand at the door. He's not coming to the door. He's at the door. He's not approaching the door. He's at the door. Do you see what he's doing? He has come to the door of mankind. He has come to the door of the church. The church has already turned him down. So he's turned to the individuals and he's actually inviting you for a personal relationship with the God of heaven. Can you imagine? The world wouldn't took him, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. I think there's an igniting power being released in the church tonight to them that will open their hearts. Amen. Do you see a spirit to receive him? Amen. They all turned him away. They all turned him down. What's he doing tonight in this humble little building? What's the pillar of fire doing here among this little group of people? I'll tell you what it is. They turned him down across the street. They turned him down in the denominations. And he found a door he could come into. And he made a promise. If you'll open the door, I will come unto you. To think right now that same pillar of fire that created the heavens and earth is whipping through this building right now, offering you a change of your life, a change in your marriage, a change in your relationship, a change in power. Oh, the Almighty God is here and changing, anointing, setting it back in order, moving it back to the way it ought to be. And brother, that ain't the way we have it, how we do things. You see, that's right. The way we used to do things wasn't right. But the changer come in and change things around. Oh my, yes sir. Behold, I stand at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now that actually is a personal pronoun. I'm a hillbilly and we got that much out of school. I is a personal pronoun, not somebody else. He said, I will come unto you. I stand at the door. In John 14, he said, I go away, but I come again. Amen. I'm so sick of this Trinitarian doctrine and these people preaching this two lords like God is something separate than his son. Come on, friends. Amen. Jesus Christ was deity in the flesh. And that same Jesus has returned to the church in the power of the Spirit of God. It's not just emotion and theology. The Holy Ghost is a person. It's the person of God. There ain't three people up there. There's one. And that one God made a promise to visit this generation. My goodness. They've watered it down and thrown it aside as an emotion and some kind of doxology or maybe something this. And they're talking about the very God of heaven. Standing at the door. Knocking. Brother Bram said many go to church and worship but they don't know him. He said, see, so will it be at his coming. They won't see him. That's right. Do you see? Amen. They're going to ask the question, who is this? Isn't that what they done when Jesus was there 2,000 years ago and he come riding on the colt? Amen. A little white donkey. He come riding right down the street of Jerusalem. You know what? Amen. He made a promise he would do that from Zechariah. Behold, the king cometh riding. Now look, he actually made a promise to ride in, and the scripture was specific who it would be on that mule. But when he come, amen, the prophet of God said it like this. It was a Passover. He said, and the whole earth was charged that this wasn't just another Passover. This wasn't just another meeting. He said, they were charged with expectation that something was about to happen. He said they didn't know what was going to happen, but they felt a change was in the air. I don't know what this is about, but I feel change. Amen. May I say tonight, I feel a charge of expectancy in this building that there's going to come change tonight. I don't know who you are or what I'm doing here, but I know this. God sent me here tonight to speak to your life. There's a change going to take place in this building tonight. Somebody is going to be changed. Somebody's heart is going to be changed. The word of God, amen, has come forth and it will not return void. Brother, what are you talking about? I'm saying that when Jesus come riding in, they had to ask, who is this? Brother Bram said they asked who it was because they were confused on what the scripture was. Not that they didn't know the scripture. They didn't have the right interpretation of scripture. So they didn't know who that was. The same thing today when the Holy Ghost comes in the church. They don't know who that is. They call that some kind of bad thing. They say that's just emotional. And you people are just Pentecostal. That ain't what that is. That's the very God of heaven that promised to visit the church to change our lives. Can you imagine? Brother Bam said that. Can you imagine those people said, hey, you're interrupting our church service with all this noise. Jesus come riding down there. The Bible said they took their clothes off and throwed in front of that mule. People that didn't have anything, they reached up and grabbed the palm leaves off of the trees. Anything they could get in their hands to throw down in front of that. To say, we know who this is. This is the King. Hosanna unto the King. Amen. And you know the Bible records that while they were doing that, amen, there was a bunch of priests sitting up around there. And they said, why these people got to make so much noise? Amen. Can't you tell them just to hold their peace? And the words of our Lord Jesus is very beautiful. He answered and said, I tell you this, if these hold their peace, these stones are going to cry out. Listen, this is what I'm saying to you, that the great creator, the King of glory, was on the scene. And if the people wouldn't open up, if the people wouldn't rejoice, then the very stones would rise up, amen, to say, this is him. This is God. This is the one who created me. My Redeemer, my Creator is on the earth. Those stones wasn't going to let them be shut up. You think about it. Brother Bram said, you see, amen, they wouldn't, them stones. You couldn't shut them up. Amen. If the people, you think about this, that them stones laying there. Amen. That if them people didn't cry out, them stones was going to stand up and raise up and preach. Think about this. I imagine those people, you're interrupting our service with all this noise. Brother Bram said, do you think that stopped them? The very Christ that they had looked for was right before them. How could you stop them? It caused a stir in that city. Begin to say, who is this causing this stir? Who is this? He's got the people all wrapped up around him. Who's causing this? See, they couldn't find him in any of their books. Who's causing this? What is this? What's interrupting our services? Why has them people got to scream out like that? Why has this got to happen? Well, friend, let me tell you why. Amen. Because if they hold their peace, the rocks out there in that driveway is going to stand up and begin to rejoice and say, God come to our church tonight. God came in the meeting tonight. To think about this, brother, I don't know about you, but there ain't no rock going to take my place. There ain't no rock going to preach this message. As long as I got breath, I'm going to preach this message. I know that there's a whole group out here that don't want us quoting the prophet. Amen, but I'll tell you, as long as I got breath in my body, I'm going to quote this message. I'm going to preach this message with anointing and power. I'm not talking about somebody. I'm talking about a devil that's trying to stop this message. Long as there's breath, long as there's life, ain't no rock going to take my place. There ain't no rock going to preach the steering of the bride. Amen. I think God's got a ministry to do it. Oh, that devil, ain't he something? Y'all preachers just sit down, we'll play a tape. I tell you what, ain't no rock going to take my place. Amen. You ain't going to set me down. You ain't going to shut me up. I ain't going to quit. If I got to stand on the street corner and preach this message, if I got to eat crackers and drink branch water and preach this message, amen, it's the power that'll change lives. It's the answer. No, it's not a time to hold your peace. No, sir, if you know this message, it's not a time to hold your peace. If there ever was an hour to speak up, it's your day, bride. It's your hour. It's your time. Thank God for men that'll stand with this word. Well, that's why Brother Bram said the same thing is that now the Spirit of the living God lives in them. That's why they cry out. That's why they can't hold their peace. What's wrong with them? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. A prophet's answer. He said the Spirit of the living God is in them. You call it emotionalism. Brother Branham called it the Holy Ghost. The world calls it emotion. William Branham called it the Holy Ghost. Oh, Brother Wayne, I don't want to praise him like that. That's all right. Amen. Somebody wants to. That's right. Somebody wants to praise God like that. Amen. I'll tell you what. Amen. If you don't want to praise him like that, scoot over while I do. Amen. Give me some room to worship God. I'm talking about the Creator. I'm talking about the lovely Lord Jesus, the mighty God, the one that gave his life, the one that died for you and rose for you. I tell you, if the Pentecostals can shout over a bunch of music and money, amen, how about the bride of Jesus Christ? We've actually got something to shout about. The changer of life has come in the room. The anointing that brings power. It's Him, the mighty God, the one with anointing and power, the one who can change lives. Sometimes we go overseas, you brothers know. Hey, Brother Doug, you go overseas and you meet a new group for the first time, and a brother will get up. They've heard about you on the internet and read about your meetings and saw some of you preaching, heard about your reputation. I've had them get up and say, well, this is Brother Lawson, he comes from Brother in Ohio. Man, in a minute they start building me up, you know. Makes me kind of feel bad, but as I think, man, y'all hold it down, I might not get up there that high. I know who does it. They'll get you building you up. Now, hey, he's been to Africa and been to India and been here and been there, and God done this and God done that. After a little while, brother, he'll introduce you to the platform. He'll say, make him welcome. You come walking up, kind of feel bad. Everybody's, you know, making you feel welcome. And I thought one time, wouldn't it be something? Hey, man, if we could introduce the Lord Jesus and we could talk about the one that come from glory and took on a robe of veil of flesh and died for our sins and rose up again on the third day. I'm talking about the one that healed Mary of Magdalena. I'm talking about the one that went to the woman at the well, who raised Lazarus from the dead, who opened the blinded eyes. I think we ought to make him welcome in the house of God tonight. I think we ought to say, Lord, you're welcome here. Oh, we need somebody who can raise the dead, who can shake our lives, who can change our hearts. That's right. Hosanna to the King. Jehovah Jireh's in the building. Jehovah Rapha has showed up tonight. Oh, we need change. They said, who is this? Who is this? Isn't it amazing? Brother Bram said, who is this? What is this? Is the question they said. He said, but tonight the question's to you. What do you think this is? Do you class this as a Beelzebub or say it's a bunch of spiritualists or fortune tellers? Some kind of mental telepathy? Or can you say Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord? Do you know who comes in the name of the Lord? Brother Bram said, the Holy Ghost comes in the name of the Lord. And he came just like he was prophesied, and they still had to ask who he is. Who is he that's moving? He said he would come, but he would come in the form of the Spirit, not in the physical body. That body's going to yet come. We're going to go meet him. But tonight he is here in the pillar of fire, changing hearts, changing lives. I tell you, brother, I'd stop preaching tonight if I didn't know he was among us. I wouldn't do this anymore if I wasn't sure who it was. But tonight I know that I can tell you there's a change coming and there's a God here that can change your life. I don't have to change you. Brother Doug don't have to change you. Andrew and Dale don't have to change you. The one who does the changing is here. Who do you say? It's not what they said. What do you say? It's not what the group down the road says. What do you say? It's not what your daddy said, your mama said, your brother said. What do you say? Who do you say it is? I say he's the King of Glory. I say he's the mighty God and that he's here today. Do you see there won't be no stirring amongst the bride? Third seal. There's been nothing to wake her up. It'll take no seven unknown thunders. Right? And those wouldn't sound until the mighty angel descended of Revelations 10. But tonight there's a stir among us. What caused it? Amen. I tell you, somebody had to descend. Something had to happen. What is this? Amen. I tell you what it is. It's the seven thunders. It's the capstone. It's the seven seal. It's the third pool. It's the opening of the word. It's Christ. Only Christ it could be. The seventh seal has brought him back to earth. The pillar of fire is here. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. The same one that led the children of Israel. The same one that met Paul. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1965, Brother Bram said, my Christmas message to you too, son, is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he ever healed, he's here healing. If he ever saved, he's still saving. Who do you say? Brother Branham said, you got to draw your own conclusion. That's right. Amen. Sirs, is this the sign of the end? He said, you've read about it. You heard about the second climax. You heard about the angels of the Lord in the cloud. You heard about the third pool and the seven thunders and the seventh seal. He said, now the third pool's coming, but don't try to explain it. You'll see how I approach this tonight. I don't know, but I feel duty bound to my church to say something. Draw your own conclusion. Make up your own mind who this is. Make up your own mind what this message is. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you come up with the answer of the Bible, you'll find that your whole life will be changed. And this ain't just here to change your heart. This message came to change your body. It'll change everything about you. You say, well, what's he doing here? He made the promise in John 14 that I wouldn't leave you comfortless, but I would come unto you. He made that promise, did he not? He said, I stand at the door and knock. He promised a visitation to this generation. And here he is knocking. See, but his voice is what's doing the knocking. His word is knocking at your heart. Hebrews chapter 3 said, when you hear His voice, harden not your heart. But you see what He's looking for? Brother Bam said, a man knocks at a door, on a man's door, for the only reason is he's trying to gain entrance. The only reason God would knock is because He's trying to get in. There would be no other reason for Him to knock. Hey man, if there's a question, Brother Bam said there's got to be an answer. There cannot be a question without an answer, so that's why the Bible said, look for the Bible, the questions of the day. The Bible has the answer. Christ is the answer. That's the answer. Who is it? It's Christ. What's He want? Entrance into the church. Listen, friends, only Christ this could be. Who else promised to do these things? Now, to look, you say, Brother Wayne, what are you talking about? Clouds and pyramids and thunders and seals. Listen, I'll say as Peter said, we have not followed cunning device fables of man. But we've known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus, whom we are eyewitnesses of His majesty. We have seen Him. We have seen Him manifest His life in supreme power upon the earth today. Do you see this one that came? He didn't come without a reason. He didn't come to this building without a reason. He didn't step in this meeting without a reason. God has a reason that I'm preaching this message. And it's to gain entrance into a heart. Do you see? He wouldn't come unless He had a reason to come. Now, Brother Bram said many men come to your door for a lot of different reasons. Now, the thing about it is if President Trump showed up at the door, we'd all know who he was. That's right. Brother Bram said, see, the world knows their own. See, if some rock star showed up at the door, everybody knew who he was. Amen. But isn't it amazing that the only one who's unknown is the Lord Jesus? The one who's unknown is the Holy Spirit? Amen. Do you see? Amen. He comes to them. Amen. Now, Brother Bram said if the president showed up, he might want many different things. Amen. If he showed up at the door just within minutes, they'd have it on the internet. Now, if you don't even like President Trump, but still yet, the president come to your house. I mean, the president knows where you live. Can you imagine the president himself knocking on your door and you look outside and there's all them limos sitting out there? Guy don't travel by himself. Okay, you got a satchel in his hand. That's the new code. The guy that come to your door has the power to cause the third world war and change everything that you know. And he's knocking at your door, speaking to you. And out in the driveway is the entire entourage. He don't travel alone. Are you with me? He has power. The one who comes to the door today is Jesus Christ. And all the angels of heaven is with Him. The power to change the whole world is standing at your door. The one who will bring on the millennium is at your door. The one who will bring on the new world is at your door. He's not here alone. When He comes with power. Who is this? Who is this at the door? Now, you know, many families like our family, we all sit in a fellowship room there. Brother Andrew's been there a lot. Our living room's way away from our front door. And we'll all be sitting around talking or something. Somebody knock at the front door. It's way over there on the other side of the house. And we'll all wait for somebody to get the door. But we'll all say, who is it? Who is it? Dog's over there barking. Who wouldn't have it? Somebody's there. The knock let us know somebody's there. They're interrupting our evening. They're interrupting our fellowship. But they're there to gain entrance. See, now, the thing is, who is it and what do they want? That's the question. Who is it and what do they want? Now, you can't wait too long to open the door. Because eventually they'll give up and leave. Now, if you go to the message of pardon, Brother Bam actually begins the message of doors and doors with pardon. And he says, in another message of pardon, he talks about a boy that's on death row. And he said his mama went to the governor, remember? And begged the governor to give the boy a pardon. Said that the governor went down to his cell and he gained entrance to the first level by the guard. But remember, the boy sat on the bench of his bed with his back to the governor of the state. And wouldn't even ask, who are you? He wouldn't even recognize the man was talking to him. He act like, oh, he must be here for some other reason or some other purpose. I'm in a place. See, the boy thought he was in a place nobody could help him. He was actually in a place he didn't think there was no reason to listen to what he was being told, because he really didn't believe there was any way to help him. And he waited and waited and waited. And after a while, amen, the message, Brother Ram says, that the governor got up off the bed and walked out the door. And as he's walking down the hall, somebody said, "Good day, governor." And that man started screaming out, who was that? He said, "Oh, that was the governor. That was the governor of the state, and you didn't even talk to him." And the boy said, "Well, just think of it. The governor was in my cell. The governor of the state was in my cell. He was here to give me a pardon, and I wouldn't even talk to him." Do you see? You got to ask a question, who is it? Or you're going to ask the question, who was it? Amen. You ever run to the door and see the car leaving the driveway and say, "Who was that, honey?" Amen. You got to ask the question tonight. Are you going to say, "Who is it?" or "Who was it?" You're going to ask, "Who is this tonight?" or "Who was that tonight?" I tell you what, we ought to ask the question, "Who is it?" Amen. And it's the King of Glory. You know what he's doing here? Amen. The prophet of God said his purpose was to gain entrance, and he's here to bring you a pardon. The King of all the earth has a pardon, and he's standing at your door knocking. He's not here to arrest you. He's not here to bring you into prison. He's here to pardon you of every sin, of everything that you've ever committed. And if you'll just open the door. James chapter 5, amen, said, "Be patient." Amen. "Because grudge not one against another, lest you be condemned, because the judge standeth at the door." Who can change anything but a judge? It takes a judge to call you innocent. It takes a judge to pass a pardon. And the very judge of heavens and earth, the Word, has come to the earth trying to gain entrance, knocking at your door, Brother Bram said, to receive a bride. To give you pardon. To forgive you of everything that's wrong in there. Think about it. He wants to say to you, "You're pardoned." What an invitation to let that guy in the door. You see, the latch is on the inside. Here's the problem. He has fulfilled every obligation by knocking. He has fulfilled every promise by knocking. The prophet of God said, but they got the pitcher, you remember? He said, and they said, "Well, there's one thing wrong with the pitcher. There's no knob on the outside of the door." Brother Bram said, the painter told him, said, "Well, you can notice that there's a lantern there." Jesus holding a lantern. He said, "Tell you it'd be nighttime." He said, "Notice the pitcher. He's leaning into the door with his ear." He said, "Listening for the slightest whisper of come in." He's leaned up close to be sure that the slightest whisper of the heart to say come in. If the slightest part of your heart can say come in tonight, Jesus is waiting to come in. He's knocking at the door. And Brother Bram said, "Do you see?" But the problem is, he's a gentleman. It's his nature. He will not force his way in. He won't beat down your door. He's not a rapist. He won't take something that don't belong to him. Whatever he takes is what you give him. Now, that's why Paul said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ." In other words, you've got to let it. You've actually got to let it happen. Now, some people are busy and some people are too afraid to open. Some people are too embarrassed. The house is too big of a mess. But listen, I don't care whatever your excuse is tonight. It's not worth letting him walk away. Amen. He's knocking at the door. He's brought a visitation to bring to you perfection. To bring to you the change of your life, the change of your body, the change of your destinations. Amen. He has come to that door to gain entrance. Now, here we come to this place tonight. We must realize that many of the Christians today has opened the door. So the door I'm talking about tonight is not an outside door. Brother Bram said, see, he gained entrance to the front door, but you know there's a lot of doors in a house. He said he's actually, many times, he's already in the front door. He said, but all the other doors in the house have been closed to him. Now, Jesus doesn't just want to be a Savior tonight, but yet he wants to be the Lord of the house. He wants to be the Lord of every portion of this house. Now, when Jesus first comes in and you try to tell him, hold your place right there, Lord. But yet, see, he wants to make it in every room until he comes into every room. Now, Brother Bram is very clear on this. He said, when you first start into the house, he said that first little door he comes to is the door of pride. Amen. It actually is the door of pride. Now, if you'll notice, until you open the door of pride, you cannot really enjoy the blessings of God. Until you open the door of pride, you cannot enter His fellowship. Amen. Because you got to realize, amen, that just accepting Him in the first level, amen, is not going to get you in fellowship with Him, because pride is going to keep Him out. See, he can come right down in this meeting tonight. You've already opened the door and said that he's the Lord. But you see, if you haven't opened the door of pride, you will never enter the spiritual fellowship in the church. You know why? Amen. Because the pride's going to keep you from doing it. Because you're going to say, well, I don't want somebody else seeing me crying and boo-hooing and shouting and hollering and standing up like all these others. I don't want nobody to see me doing that. So pride actually holds that part of Christ away from you. Listen, it ain't nothing but old dirty pride. I remember when I first got saved, and I come into a meeting one night, and I was sitting there on the front row, and the preacher was preaching. Now, you got to realize I didn't know church order. I wasn't churched. I hadn't been in church in 15 years nearly. I didn't know much about church. Forest Farmer's up there preaching away, and I come in sitting down there. I may have told y'all years ago, but I had me this pair of fancy cowboy boots that I'd bought. Man, they was $300-$400 boots. I mean, for a country boy, them were nice boots. And I was sitting there, but the thing about them is they had a leather sole. Real nice boots usually do, because you can replace the soles if you got money. But if you're a poor country boy, you wear them out. And the bottom of my boots had holes in them, you know. So I come in there sitting on the front row, and I'm sitting there with big old holes in the bottom of my boots. If you're looking at the top of them, I look pretty good. But look at the bottom, a big old hole. Well, so one of my plans is don't let nobody see the bottom of them shoes. But while that preacher is preaching, it come into my mind, if I kneel at that altar up there, like I'm wanting to do right now, I'm sitting there thinking, I want to go that altar deal. But there's something sitting there saying, if you kneel at that altar, they're going to see the bottom of your shoes. That whole church is going to see you got holes in your shoes. So I sat there and fought and fought and fought with that, and that just kept knocking at the door. Amen. And there it was. It was just knocking. Now, I'd already made up my mind that the Lord was Lord and He was God and I wanted Him to save my life. But to kneel at that altar, to go up there and boo-hoo and cry and show the bottom of my shoes to that congregation. Brother, let me tell you, I wasn't about to do that. Because I was a good old boy. Well, nobody seeing me like that. Amen. Do you see what it was? It was nothing more than pride. That's all it was a little pride, and people laugh at me. Amen. But see, that's no worse than what keeps you from doing it. Oh, I tell you, I'm a deacon in the church. I can't let nobody see me kneel like that. I'm a preacher. I can't kneel down at an altar anymore. I tell you, my daddy's this, and my mama's this, and we drive this kind of car. I tell you, there ain't nobody can see me crying and boo-hooing and snotting and rolling in the floor. I can't let that happen. Amen. But you know what? I sat there a little while, and something began to move in my heart. If you don't get up and move right now, you might not never get another chance to do it. And brother, I made up my mind right there. If I showed every person the bottom of my shoes or whatever else they saw, it didn't matter to me. I wanted God to change my life. And when we get in the place that we're ready for God to change our hearts, it won't matter what kind of position we're holding. It won't matter what our name is or what our social standing, how much money or what kind of car. We'll say, God, if I got to crawl on my knees, I'm ready to receive the Holy Ghost in power. Yes, sir. When that begin to come, you say, Brother Wayne, it don't take all that, but yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. It takes just that. It takes you getting to a place that you lose that old nasty thing called pride. What a lot of us needs is just an old-fashioned, rolling in the floor, snotting, screaming, hollering, Acts 2:38 experience with a living God, and knock all that social dignity out of our lives so the Holy Ghost can come into the church. You know what keeps it out a lot of times? Amen. Is the pompousness and the dignity of our elders anymore. We get to a certain place where we can't move. Well, then we see, but the Holy Ghost now can't be accepted by the greatest. So the least look at it and say it must be to be big. You can't take that. To be a big person in the church, you can't let that move on you. But I think that the biggest are to get to a place of saying, God, move on me first. Let me have an experience with you that makes every person in the building want to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Had a prayer meeting, one time, a little 10-year-old boy come up in the meeting. He said, Brother Wayne, he said, I see the Holy Ghost moving on everybody in here. He said, I don't understand it. He said, but I want you to pray, God, give me what my mom and daddy's got. I said, well, I tell you, that's a real example right there. They seen the Holy Spirit moving on mom and daddy, and that 10-year-old didn't understand it. But he knew it. Whatever they got, I want some of that. If it'll make my daddy act like that, amen, what will it do for me? I'll tell you, if it'll make a preacher act like this, what will it do for you when the Holy Ghost begins to move? I believe there's a genuine experience with the presence of God that'll shake the rafters, brother. He's a mighty God. He's a real God. He's not yesterday's God or tomorrow's God. He's a God tonight. Amen. I'll tell you, Sir Wayne, I'll tell you, I don't know. The first time Brother Ram preaches the message, pride, he preaches about a little woman coming and washing the feet of Jesus. That's what he's preaching about. But you see what kind of woman it took to wash his feet? Because the other ones were so full of who they were. They were so built up in their standing that they couldn't humble themselves to wash the feet of this man Jesus. Because everybody had given him a bad name. You see how people gave the moving of the Spirit a bad name? So when he starts moving in the church, people are affected by how other people have talked about it. And they don't want to associate it with that because they don't want that kind of name. But that little girl didn't have a name to start with. She was just a nobody already. So when she saw an opportunity to worship Jesus, she didn't have a reputation to worry about. You see what I'm saying? Brother, listen. Amen. You say, well, Wayne, how in the world you get up there and act like that? Well, let me tell you. See, you wasn't there the night he got a hold of me. You wasn't there when he found me, that little hillbilly boy who was a nobody without a name, without any kind of reputation, without any ministry, and with no hope at all. But when God came to me, he gave me the Holy Ghost. Well, tonight I'm not ashamed of that God. When he met me there, he gave me life. And whatever he gave, he's still giving. Brother Wayne, what do we ought to do? Make him welcome tonight. Make him welcome in the house of God. Amen. You see what we're doing? We're making him welcome. Now, I don't take it as rebuke. We're preaching, right? Amen. The King of Glory, make him welcome. Amen. There's a woman here tonight with an alabaster box. There's somebody here tonight that said, Brother Wayne, I'm ready to let go of pride. I'm ready to not leave Jesus with dirty feet. I'm going to take what I am and worship him until everybody in the building knows this is a good thing. It's good. Taste of the Lord. See that it's good. Brother Bram said, that's the reason I like these full gospel conventions. You can hear the people cry and shout and praise the Lord. That's right. They've got to come into a fellowship, a divine fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you get rid of that, you've gone back to Babylon. You might as well bury yourself. That's right. Amen. When we get to the place where we get away from the Shekinah glory, and the praises of God and the fresh anointing breaks down all these religious barriers and things. It makes us one in Christ, free from condemnation. That's what we need tonight, is a divine fellowship. In the fourth seal, people say, well, that just makes too much noise. It makes me nervous. He said, well, you're going to be nervous if you'd ever get to heaven. Think of when you get all of us there. You gotta think about this. You get Darrell Ward and Wayne Lawson and Andrew, Brother JJ and Brother Doug, Brother Ron, Brother Tim, Brother Donnie, amen, Brother Biscoe. You get us with Brother Branham in the front of the Lord Jesus. You've never seen such cutting up in your whole life. Friend, we'll tear the pavement up in heaven because God give us liberty to get there. The only way change will ever come is for Him to come in. Amen. People get saying, well, there's no such a thing. They say, well, there. Some say, well, you can't receive the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing. They tried to tell us that years ago. There was no such thing as speaking in tongues and prophecy and gifts and all these things are all past. He said, do you think that stopped them hungry-hearted people? You get somebody that really wants the Holy Ghost and you stand and try to tell them there ain't no such thing. You think that'll stop them? I guarantee you it won't stop them because it didn't stop me and it didn't stop you and it didn't stop anybody that's hungry for God because they know there is a God somewhere if they can just get in His presence. Friends, God don't have no better way to help you. He got no better way for a chicken to get out of an egg than peck itself out. That's the way it started, and that's the still way He does it tonight. God ain't got a better way to help you than letting the pillar of fire come to the church. He don't have a better way of changing your young people other than coming in their heart, giving them an experience. Amen. The Bible doesn't say that when you believed, you received. It said, have you received since you believed? Since you let Him in the door, have you let Him in pride? Have you let Him in private life? Have you let Him go into your lives? See, people don't want that. The common people don't want that. I'm not talking about you. Of course, this bride wants that. Amen. Brother Bram said she don't want none of them screaming, hollering, brabbling, Act 238 miserable creatures she thinks they are. See, the world don't want that, messes the form up. We're trying to have a real dignified church service, and this person's over there screaming and shouting. They down there blabbering and snotting all over the furniture. We invited the mayor to come tonight. Can somebody take her outside? She's going to embarrass the whole bunch of us. Brother, let me tell you, if the worship of God embarrasses you, you need to let God in your heart and get a change on the inside until you welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing greater than to see God coming down in the church and begin to change hearts and lives. I've never seen a greater sight than an altar full of young people. Amen. With the presence of God falling upon their lives. Oh, I welcome the Holy Spirit to come in the building tonight with power, with life. With manifestation, born of the Spirit of God. That's right. No intellectual church joined, creek going, bobbed, hair painted face. No such thing of that at all. You can't find that in the Word of God. But you can find an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled child born of the Spirit of God, screaming, hollering, shouting, and praising God. Sometimes people think these things get out of order. Let's just read a prophet. I seen jumping spells, joy spells, but nobody got hurt. The mountains rung out, the sun went down, and everything else took place, and nobody got hurt. I seen meetings where the power of God was revealed to the people, were free from the world and the things of the world. The joy of the Lord filled the congregation. They stood and screamed. Now today we got a section of people don't want nobody to stand up in the church and scream out. Brother Bram said, I seen them stand and scream and cry. And shout to the top of their voice for the glory of God. Can you imagine? This is a prophet now saying, I've seen people in my meeting stand up and shout and scream to the top of their voices. Why wouldn't they? The presence of God has come down. Why wouldn't they give voice to the dynamics of God? Brother Bam said, but I never did see anything disorderly. He said, I seen all that. But it's not disorderly. He said they was always right in order. It's opposite of what everybody's saying. They're saying that's out of order. Brother Bam said it's in order. The reason it's in order is because who it is. This is Christ. This is not a church or denomination or a creed. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's come down and made an appearance before the church. Of course it's in order to scream and shout and holler and rejoice and praise God. The changer has come. Brother Bram said it was right in order because they've recognized that their names have been written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's right. So Brother Wayne, I tell you, I've been in them kind of services and I don't like them much. Well, I tell you, if you join in, you'd like them better. Brother Branham, right out here in Colorado, he's dancing around the stump, screaming and shouting and hollering. You don't believe a prophet would do it, but he told us about him doing it. Out there screaming and running around the circle. When he seen that big eagle sitting there, he said, God showed me that the eagle ain't scared of his gift. He's not scared of them heaven-given gifts. That eagle knew it was his escape from his enemy. And the church of the living God has got scared of the gift of the Holy Ghost and forgot that it's our escape from the enemy that's trying to go on us. But the eagle wasn't scared of it. And when Brother Branham saw that heavenly bird's not scared of his gifts, God gave him his wings. That's right. When he seen that, he said, I got to dancing and shouting and hollering. He said, there was an old chimp bunk over there. Chatter, 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 chatter. Said that old thing, he said, Brother Bram said, I begin to imagine he was laughing at me and looking at me. He said, after a little while, he said, well, I tell you what, chipmunk, if you don't like that, watch this. I tell you what, I think there's a part of the bride right now. I think there's a part of the bride of Christ right now that's in watch this mode. They're in devil. If you don't like that, watch this. You don't think this message has got power, watch this. If you don't like the Holy Ghost, watch this. You don't like prayer lines, watch this. You don't like altar calls, watch this. You know why I found a lot of guys don't like altar calls? Because they're afraid they might have to get down at one and pray. Brother Bram said, I looked over at that chipmunk after a little while and he said, I seen that chipmunk and said, little fella, what are you looking at me like that for? He said, if you'd do it, it'd do you some good. If he'd just join in, he could have enjoyed what Brother Branham was enjoying. Now, I don't like to talk about it, but I wasn't the best guy in the world when I was in the world. And my early life, I actually tried drinking a little bit. You know what I found was the worst thing that you ever was around was a drunk. Go somewhere, an old drunk, he'd lay on you and talk to you and breathe on you and snot on you and cry around, I love you, man. They just drive you crazy. Unless you was drinking too. There ain't nothing worse than a drunk unless you're drunk. And there's nothing worse than being in a church full of Holy Ghost shouting people and you sit there and you don't never get into it. It gets on your nerves. But if you ever just let go one time and begin to enter into the presence of that power, you begin to understand what they're excited about. Brother Bram said when they come out of that upper room, he said they were so quickened in their bodies and in their spirit until they said they thought they were drunk in the spirit. And then Peter said, well, they're not drunk like you think they are. They're drunk on a new wine. This is that which Joel prophesied, that God would send His Spirit up in the church. My, to think that today, I believe what the church needs is to pass the bottle of the Holy Ghost until love broke out, until the power of God broke out on every life and every heart. Whew. Brother Bram said, we ought to get drunk on the Spirit. That's right, the Holy Ghost can just pour in till you're so drunk you forget what your name is. When's the last time you've been that drunk in church? And she staggered out the back door. Said, God bless you, brother. I don't know what your name is, but I love you. Said, Brother Wayne, you've lost your mind. Now I'm reading what a prophet said. He said, the Holy Ghost can pour it into you. You're so drunk you forget what your name is. You forget your doubts. You get so drunk till you forget your doubts. And then you can say amen and get somewhere with God. Do you see what he's wanting to be? He's wanting to be Lord. He's wanting to be worshipped. He wants to be the master. It's a spirit that comes in the church. Brother Raymond said, there's another door. He said, just after this door of pride, he said, now there's another little door there called private life. He said, now that's for sure a door people don't want him in. Because that's that door that starts talking about the girls and how they dress and the boys and how you conduct in your life and whether you're coming to the house of God and worshiping or not, you know, all that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let your pastor handle that private life. I don't have time to get into it tonight. But there's a door there that there's somebody knocking on it right now, actually. No more than I said. You can hear that, can't you? It's knocking right there because there's places that you have locked him out of. Because you don't want him to know. You don't want him in that place. Amen. It's called the door of private life. That's the door of your own life. You want him to save you from hell, but you don't want him fooling with the way you handle your life, the way you live, the way you think, the way you do things. It's called a private life. But do you see, God himself has promised tonight that if you would open up the door, that he will come into you. I will come into them. I will make my ministry known to them. I will come into their hearts. If our musicians will come tonight. Do you see, it's the door of the heart. Thank God tonight he continually knocking at the heart. As many times as we ain't answered and he's still standing here. As many times as we've let it go, we ought to have to say, who is that? Who was that? But yet tonight, even after so long a time, he's trying to gain entrance to his house. Can you hear it knock? He's trying to get in. Let me ask you tonight, how long are you going to make him knock? He's the Lord of glory. How long are you going to make him knock? He's knocking at that private life tonight. He's knocking at that pride door tonight. And if you'll just open up, he made a promise to you tonight that I will come into you. I said, Lord, Brother Wayne, when God does, when he starts changing me, I'm going to do all these. The prophet of God said, but the problem of it is the latch is on the inside. You have got to be the one to pull open that door. You got to do it. You got to walk up to the door and open it up and say, Lord, come on in. You got to begin to open right now. All across the congregation, can you? Do you know he's knocking? Can you feel that? You hear his voice? It's his voice that's knocking. Who is it? It's the one that's there to change it. He's come to renovate it. He's come to change everything in it. You've been wanting change a long time. People secretly come to church time after time, desiring change and never get it. But he's here tonight offering change. So Brother Wayne, I've been a Christian 30 years, but do you see he's still offering change? I'm glad, Brother Darrell. I'm glad. I've been preaching the gospel a long time. Brother Kenny, every now and then, I'll get somewhere and just close the door and lay on the floor. And I'll say, Lord, Wayne Lawson got to have some change. You go through enough battles, you start getting hard. Your spirit starts getting hurt. You start getting your bitter, little bitter spirit. And you start criticizing everybody and everything. And every now and then, you just need to go somewhere and say, Lord, I got to have some change. And you know, I can sit down and talk to somebody and it don't change it. But if he ever comes in there, everything changes. I believe he's here tonight for change. I believe it. I believe it. Your young people's just going to go to a camp meeting and men of God's going to be preaching the word. But I believe this was a good night to start the change. To open up the door and say, Lord, I want some change. In these next services that's coming, I want to swing open every door. I want it to come open. Amen. There's a little old song that He's saying, change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Do you know he's the only one tonight that can change it? Can't read your way there. You can turn over a new leaf, but it don't fix it. Some of you have been dealing with some issues a long time. But the changer's here. So, Brother Wayne, I've been dealing with this 10 or 12 years. Do you know there's a woman one time with an issue of blood? 12 years she dealt with that. But one day Jesus come passing by. Who is that? That's the one that can heal. You know, the Bible said she pressed through the crowd. Do you know with her condition, she wasn't even supposed to be in the public. She was unclean. But she pressed through the crowd until she touched his garment. And the Bible, Jesus said, who touched me? Brother Bram said, watch. She touched that outer garment. He never felt that physically. Brother Bram said, but he felt it in his spirit. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews, he's the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmity. You can reach out right now and open your heart and say, Lord, I want you to come in here and change this. I need you to come change it, Lord. I can't go on like this. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. And the one that can change it is standing right here in the building right now, the pillar of fire. I hear doors opening right now. You can hear them opening right now. You can feel the Spirit start moving through the room, opening hearts. You hear that? That's not emotion. That's a door opening. The doors are opening. The doors of the heart. Why don't you open up and let Him come in? He's the mighty God. He's the King of glory. He's the changer of lives. He's the renovator of the soul. He's coming through the building right now. Change my heart, God. Father God, all across this building right now, Lord, You're knocking. Your voice is speaking to hearts and lives, and the changer, the God of change, a difference maker, is in this building right now. Father, some don't think it makes a difference. But Lord, I can testify that 5 minutes in Your presence could forever change a life. Lord, You changed me. You changed me and ever changed me, oh God. Now, I pray tonight that You come in the midst of Your children, Father, as they begin to open their hearts. Lord, maybe that young person that, Lord, that's here tonight praying, Lord, asking. But Father, it's a promise that if they would just open, You would fill them. Father, to these elders, to these men and women that served You for years, Lord, they're opening hearts right now. God, change us. Renew our spirit. Give us a refreshing, Lord. Let us have a new experience with You, Lord. We welcome You, Almighty God. We welcome You in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like You. Oh, You are the potter. I am the clay. Oh, God. Make me. This is what I pray. My heart, oh God, I I wonder tonight if you want to change. Maybe you want to get up and come to this old-fashioned altar tonight. Just want to come and kneel down and say, Lord, I want change in my life tonight. I know it's a Wednesday night, but the changer's here. Think of it. Take us in your hands tonight, Lord. Oh, yes, Father. This is what I pray. Maybe you just want to kneel down right where you are. There's men of God here tonight that could lay hands on you, pray with you. Maybe you've been wanting to change in the church a long time, come to find out the change needs to happen in your heart. Just think, if He would come in here tonight and touch you, and everything would change. Oh my, the families would change, the marriages change, the church changes. Because He's the mighty God. Make it ever true, Lord. Change my heart, oh God. I want to be. Father God, we pray with our brother tonight.